The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
Hello, Wausau. This is Sage Weil, 98.9 Bull Falls radio owner and Civic Media CEO. I'm just calling to congratulate the Wausau Business Show on being open for business for 10 episodes. We love having you on the Civic Media team. Congratulations and keep up the great work for Wausau.
This is the Wausau Business Show.
Wausau works.
Hello, Wausau.
Dive into Wausau's heart with your hosts, Ryan and Paul.
Does that mean I'm stupid?
As they bring you the stories, people, and passion.
You're fine.
Okay, all right.
Make Wausau a community like no other. Your journey through Wausau's soul starts with the Wausau Business Show.
As the new mayor of Wausau, I would welcome Red Lobster to our great city.
Welcome to the Wausau Business Show, Wausau Wausonians.
Welcome.
The Wausau Business Show is open for business. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA, the best small city in America. Episode number 10 from Wisconsin's base camp.
We made it. 10.
Yeah. Can you believe it? That is what 2.5 months feels like,
yep.
Paul. And also, Jim Waldron's ski jump has been confirmed. We're going to keep confirming it over and over and over again with Jim. The Wausau Walkers water ski team is on board.
Good.
With Jim, Jim's on board. The money has been collected and continues to roll in. WausauBusiness.com if you want to donate for Jim to jump.
The mighty ski jump. He's going to do it.
Dates are being finalized for that. Jim Waldron, as you know, episode number 4.
Right.
We found out that Jim is a professional, borderline professional ski jumper.
Borderline professional.
Hasn't done it in 30 years. Yeah. Wausau Tile and former president of Wausau Wind Wind Wall, Jim Waldron. All of that benefits the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, which is great. Who do we have on the show this week, Paul?
This week we have on Tyler Vogt, owner of Westsider Diner and Lounge,
yep.
Malarkey's, and Townies.
Great guy. And the Facebook aficionado, Kyle Silver.
Oh, yeah. He's the one who came up with, you know, you're from Wausau if?
Yes. Wow.
Right.
34,000
plus member and growing.
And growing daily. So a really important part of Wausau culture there. That's all coming up on the Wausau Business Show. And it's officially Dairy Month. June is Dairy Month, where we celebrate the rich history of farm culture.
Yeah.
Were you ever in 4-H, Paul?
I wasn't, but I knew a lot of people who were.
Yeah, really cool program there. And we saw dairy breakfasts and the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing better than walking outside when the wind is just right and the smell of the farm is blowing in the crisp Wisconsin dairy air.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Dairy air?
Dairy air. I think, yep, that's what
Did
we
say. Did you say dairy air?
Dairy air,
okay.
Yeah. And, but I'm dead serious. I love it. Do you love that?
I could go either way with that.
Okay, fair enough. What's your favorite Wisconsin cheese?
Anything from Milk Merchant, but I got to go with Hook's 15-year-age cheddar. It's amazing.
I'm going with Marika's.
Oh, good.
Marika
one.
Gouda, literally awarded best Gouda in the world, right here in our own backyard, only 20 minutes west of Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Good choice on that.
Every June is Dairy Month, and we are doing business in the heart of Wisconsin's dairy land here in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Yes, right in the heart of it.
More milk and cheese is produced here in our area than anywhere else in the United States.
That's just amazing.
And some in the world, some say.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, to commemorate this occasion of Wisconsin Dairy Month of June, we have an ode to all of our awesome Wausau area farmers.
Yeah.
It's a tough business, that farming, Paul.
Yeah, it is.
And especially tough keeping the family farms in the family with all those taxes and accountants and all the rules and regulations and everything else,
it's
right?
It's down with that stuff.
There's two things you don't want to do. You don't want to lose the farm and you don't want to bet the farm.
Right.
Not necessarily in that order.
Right. Yeah, usually it goes in the other order.
Okay, fair enough. But those families, they sacrifice a lot.
Yeah, they do.
The farmers. It's not a job. It's a way of life,
our
we like
hats
to say.
Off to you guys.
Hats
Thank
off.
You.
So to commemorate Dairy Month, one of our favorite country singers, the calm, cool, and collected Mr. Blake Shelton.
Super cool.
And he'll be with one of our favorite radio broadcasters in the history of the world, the legendary Paul Harvey. God rest his soul.
Yes.
Whose speech was given during a Future Farmers of America convention in 1978 and was featured in a Dodge Ram Super Bowl commercial in Super Bowl XLVII, Paul. 47.
50 minus 10 plus 7, 47.
The Romans really knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
So this is the Wausau Business Show global exclusive.
Global exclusive.
It's a global exclusive. It is.
You're hearing it live on the Wausau Business
this
Show.
This is the only place you'll hear it. Got to give credit where credit's due. Special thanks to Mr. Blake Shelton.
Yeah, thanks, Blake. Hardy.
Yeah, Hardy. Awesome.
Special thanks.
Great guy and wrote this song.
Yep. And Scott Hendricks. Don't forget to thank him.
The producer and the estate of Paul Harvey.
Yep.
And we can't forget not to the least of which is Warner Brothers Music.
Thank you.
Thank you. Guys, yeah. You won't hear this anywhere else. Here it is, an ode and a tribute to our Wausau area farmers in honor of June Dairy Month. We love you, Wausaunian farmers.
Ya. Love
you. Thank you for all you do. Here you go.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. So God made a farmer.
Right outside of this one church town, there's a gold dirt road to a whole lot of nothing. Got a deed to the land, but it ain't my ground. This is God's country.
God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year.
We pray for rain and thank him when it's fall.
I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire.
I guess that's why they call it God.
Who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps.
I saw the light in a sunrise, sitting back in a 40 on the muddy riverside, getting baptized in holy water and shine with the dogs running.
Who, planting time and harvest season, will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then painting from tractor back, put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales.
This is God's country.
Yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tempt the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer.
We turn the dirt and work until the week's done. We take a break and break bread on Sunday, then do it all again, because we're proud to be from God's country.
It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk. Somebody who'd bale a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing.
God's country.
Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
I don't care what my headstone reads or what kind of pine wood box I end up in. When it's my time, lay me 6 feet deep in God's country.
So God made a farmer.
This is Tom Witter and my wife,
Diana Witter,
from Witter Dairy Farm by Wausau. We're milking 90 dairy cows right now. Happy June Dairy Month, Wausau.
She thinks my tractor's sexy. It really turns her on.
You're in the sauce. And the Wausau Business Show is in the air like cheddar cheese.
The Wausau Business Show.
Hi, this is Mark Craig. Come visit Compass Properties 3rd Street Lifestyle Center. Support locally owned businesses in downtown Wausau. The Pinery, the Chocolate Cafe, Forward Beverage, Polito's Pizza, Lemongrass, Chow, Jimmy John's, Isaac's, Magnolia Soap and Bath, Modern Gents, Campbell Haynes Menswear, Tanya's Bridal, Asian Massage, Reflexology Center, and listen to 98.9 Bull Falls Radio. Shop local at the 3rd Street Lifestyle Center in beautiful downtown Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Red Lobster.
Tonight, 30 shrimp.
Red Lobster for the seas.
Scampi. No golden fried.
Red Lobster for the seafood lover.
Grilled in lemon pepper. 30 shrimp on one plate.
Red Lobster for the seafood lover.
And kids get shrimp.
Get in touch. Email info at wausaubusiness.com or call 715-9-WAUSAW. That's 715-992-8728. 715-9-WAUSAW. We'll check the messages on our answering machine soon.
The Wausau Business Show.
You were there. Two worlds colliding,
shining through,
and they could never tear us apart.
Welcome back to the Wausau Business Show, and now we'd like to welcome Tyler Vogt.
Hey,
Wausau Business Show. Thanks for having us, Tyler.
We're in the window. If you've never been to the Westsider, we have the window seat right here, a large table on the stage, which you have live music on, I'm assuming.
No, I'm not allowed to have live music here yet.
What? Really? Oh.
Well, we're not licensed for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to have a license to play live music?
Absolutely. You need a license for everything.
Yeah. You pay taxes for that, I'm assuming.
Yes. And okay. And
it's a way to collect a fee.
Yes. Yeah. Licensing fees.
Well, yeah. We're on the future stage where people might be performing someday at the Westsider, and it's great to be here. We had some technical difficulties. Fortunately, Jerry's Music saved the day. They're right next door to the Westsider.
So convenient.
Caddy Corner, Kitty Corner, depending on where you're from Greeby's in Wausau.
Yeah, and staring at it right now. Beautiful.
Tyler was nice enough to bring us some, what do we have here?
Moon Man. It's a No Coast Pale Ale.
All right,
no
cheers.
Cheers, guys.
You're welcome, boys.
It's good. Good to be here.
Good hearty cheers right there. Mm-hmm. Nicely done.
This is
that we're going to break something.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to get it on the mic.
Yep. Yep.
So this is a brand new establishment. It's been open, 9 months now?
Roughly. We did some soft opening business last summer, but we opened up for all of our services in early September.
Yeah, it's phenomenal food.
And it's in, like, new to me, but the building's been here about 100 years.
How do you describe it?
Well,
What is this? What would it be to you?
I just call it like kind of a new age diner. Don't know. The idea was to have good food, come in here and be able to grab a beer, a drink, mm-hmm. be open a lot of hours every day so people that don't have traditional jobs have a place to go to, and to keep the volume and atmosphere correct to foster conversation.
Beautiful bar. How many do you see at that bar? Probably 5, I'm looking at it.
Four. And then but 14 if you count this first booth here. They're all the same height.
Yeah, and the
first counter.
Talk about the pennies under the bar.
COVID, you guys all remember that, right?
Yeah.
My wife was pregnant with our second child, okay. and we had the time to put down 37,500 pennies across 60
and count
square
them.
Feet.
Yes, wow, you spent $3,750 doing that, though.
Plus your time. $375 if you do the math a little differently.
Well, I don't know how, so. Does that make me stupid?
Oh, they're going to get the stupid one now.
I'm going to use that, yeah.
Finally. All right, yeah. Tyler is the purveyor of Malarkey's in downtown Wausau, one of Wausau's most popular
Absolutely.
Bars and restaurants, and now the Westsider. And Tyler, when you worked at Peking, which I remember you being the bartender, yep. and I think were you wind up being the general manager there at some point?
Well, not like officially. I just worked mm-hmm. a lot of hours there, and I was just sort of there all the time. So
how many years did you work at Peking?
I think about 6. It was one of my many side jobs between college and Malarkey's.
Yeah, and where did you go to undergrad?
River Falls.
For?
Political science and philosophy.
Oh.
I'm using both those degrees.
Yeah, every day, yeah.
So when you were in high school at Wausau West, you graduated a couple years before us.
Just one. 97.
97.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're just talking about how old we all are.
Yeah.
It wasn't unique to me.
Moms and dads.
I got my readers on.
Yeah.
Dork. When you were in high school, did you want to be a restaurateur? Was that your plan?
I kind of wanted to be president, actually.
Oh, cool. Yeah, political science, philosophy.
Yeah, I had a lot of ideas. I was always,
knowing you, I'm assuming that's still true?
No.
No?
Oh, okay.
It seems like if you kind of got to compromise your beliefs to get anything done these days. So I feel like I'd like to impact a community in a positive way by building businesses and some culture and different things like that.
Well, we're going to be getting into that because that's absolutely what you're doing. So
I wanted to be a lawyer at one point.
In all seriousness. Okay.
Yeah, seriously. That's why I took those. I was going to do pre-law and I just...
Did you ever take the LSATs?
I stopped right before that. I took an internship for who is now Judge Moran, but Mike Moran worked for the public defenders, and I just spent a summer doing that, and I just decided it wasn't really for me. Not really the thinking behind it, just mm-hmm. sitting still in an office. I just couldn't do that.
Yeah, so. I don't see that in you, knowing you a little bit. So at what point in your life did you decide, in what year at Peking did you decide, I'm going to take a jump off the deep end here? And
I could have my own restaurant type of thought process.
Really what happened was I met my wife when I moved back here from a stint in California that I was working, and she decided she wanted to stay in Wausau, and she was from the Netherlands, and so when she was going to move to America, she decided she wanted to live here in Wausau, and I was like, I don't know what the hell I was going to do in Wausau to make a living. So I was like, I can bartend, I can build. By that time, I was playing a little music and some bands and things, and I just figured I could do all these things in my own bar, so we ended up opening Malarkey's Pub.
Wow.
So from the time that you were at Peking to the time that you opened Malarkey's, it wasn't a direct jump? You spent time in, did you say, Southern California?
It was the Sierra Nevada mountain range at the Montecito Sequoia Lodge. I got employed for like 4 months out there to teach people to water ski and play guitar at this like resort full of people from all over the world. And then my plan after that was maybe to jump on a cruise ship or something. Mm-hmm. I came back here in between at my my mom has a business called Finnegan's Fields, and they have Irish gypsy cob horses. And I played at my first Hootenanny, and then I met the woman who became my wife a few years later.
What was she doing here?
She was employed by my aunt that owns a different horse business in town, and she was training the Frisian horses for horse curs and movement.
Oh, and she just happened to be here, and your aunt is a Markey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lana Markey. That's
your
right.
Aunt's Lana Markey. Yeah, we were friends with Matt.
Yes.
Hi, Matt.
Yeah, hi, Matt.
Does he listen to this? He was just here like 2 weeks ago.
He better listen to it.
He was sitting right where Ryan is now.
Yeah, that seems about right. Yeah. Usually he doesn't like to have his back to an establishment. I have my back.
He's got to be where I sit.
Yeah, right.
Eyes everywhere.
He's like a mobster in that regard.
We're just kidding.
So then you came back to Wausau and you immediately started Malarkey's, or you started the business plan, or what was the process involved?
Yeah, pretty much. I was working at Peking, and I liked the service and hospitality industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that once I get married, I'm going to have to figure out a way to earn more money. So I figured I would start a business in town. I like the live music scene. Mm-hmm. I liked downtown, and I'd been traveled out to California, and by that time living in Europe a little bit. Mm-hmm. When I was kind of going through the courtship phase with my wife.
Oh.
And just getting different ideas and points
of
view
on this business.
Yeah, so we started Malarkey's Pub. We took 29 days to build it. At the time that we opened it, we blocked the windows up with like construction paper, mm-hmm. and I'd written
coming soon.
Future ready and ever present. I don't just gibberish. Well, just a bunch of malarkey.
Then there was a little bit of a publicity stunt, if you want to tell people about that.
Right. Well, that was 5 years later.
Oh, okay.
That was five different business for townies. You're talking about?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We kind of capitalized on the fascination of Red Lobster.
Mm-hmm. We've heard about it.
Go ahead.
So some friends,
tell us more.
Some friends, we put together a stunt called the Lobster Garden, mm-hmm. which was a concept that Darden family was going to bring their two flagship businesses to a small town and use a synergy concept to be able to bring it to a town with a smaller population. We made a landing page for it, and you know, it's just part of folklore at this point.
Yeah. Well, you got national publicity for it, didn't you?
It's true. Yes. And like threatened with lawsuits.
Oh, fun.
By Darden.
Yeah. But from what I understand, I'm still around and they're going bankrupt.
In Darden's defense, I know way too much about this. They sold to Golden State Capital, and then Golden State Capital sold to Thai Union.
Yep.
And Thai Union now is trying to exit during the bankruptcy.
Oh.
Just to be factual.
Wow.
This is a business show after all.
Did all of this start around that time that I started the prank? Is that where the downward slide came?
Yeah, might be the genesis.
We're like, we want to get out.
By the way, it was me and like two other friends, but I'll just kind of leave them.
Okay.
Yeah. Just
nameless.
I don't know if. Yeah.
So how long did it take to get Malarkey's to cash flow in a positive way after you opened?
Well,
what was it before that? It was a cigar bar?
It was called a bar called Three.
Okay.
And before that, it was Kelly's Martini Bar.
Right. Yeah.
And when we opened it, it's difficult to explain when it started to cash flow, because all of the money I would make, I would always put into improvements,
okay.
or back into bands to hire in downtown to kind of improve the foot traffic of the area.
Smart.
So,
yeah, cool.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those things where the goal was to replicate the income I was making bartending and stuff. I wasn't that concerned with the overall profitability of the business model.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to succeed and just keep building things.
Yeah, as long as you were break even, you were fine.
Yeah, the idea being that, you know, of course, I want to just improve the area I'm in. I want to enjoy my job. I have so many great relationships with bands from all over America at this point.
Yeah.
And a lot of us have kept in contact with each other over the last 17 years now.
When did you start becoming a musician? Because I think that's something you picked up after you started Malarkey's.
Well, no, it was after college.
Yeah. When did you start playing guitar?
There was a hailstorm. I was telling Paul about this earlier. And I got it on a videotape, actually, like on the old school, like the mini cam thing.
Sure.
And there was a hailstorm in River Falls, Wisconsin, in probably May of 2001. And the hail was the size of the bottom of a solo cup, because I lived in a party house and I threw one out into the yard.
Readily available solo cups everywhere.
Yeah, in comparison to the size of the hail.
Yeah.
And I took the insurance money I was supposed to fix my car with, and I bought my first acoustic guitar from Brick House Music, which is still in existence today, a nice local guitar shop there.
Yeah.
Tommy Bentz was the first guy that sold me a guitar, told me to play right-handed even though I'm left-handed.
Yeah. And you learned on tabs, or did you say?
I was watching Elvis's comeback special on on DVD in slow motion frames and Zoom.
And watching his fingering and all that.
Yeah, I was watching Elvis's fingering. And so if there's any of my friends that are musicians listening to this, you understand why I do some stuff that makes no sense.
So you learn how to play the guitar like many foreigners coming to America learn how to speak English, which is like watching Sesame Street or whatever.
Elvis.
Yeah, you watched you watched Elvis. Is that a stretch? I don't know.
Pretty much Elvis and Neil Young.
You slowed those guys down in their live performances, and that's how you learn your C's and G's?
Well, Neil Young and Dylan were already slow enough. I only had to slow down Elvis.
Well, when you do NXS and some of that music, I love. But how many bands are you in?
Just one, basically.
But I mean, over the years, you've been in several.
Well, we call it the local heroes, but there's so many different musicians that have been in and out of it.
Iteration.
And that's been the real treat of it.
Mm-hmm.
I play with the bass player guy that I played the longest with. His name is Justin Zopel, and he plays like 25 instruments really well. Mm. And that allows us to kind of bring anybody in and find a way to make a show compelling and interesting.
So there's different, the number of people in the band on any given night varies, right?
Oh, yeah. It could be from one to like eight. And like at this point, 500 people have been in this band. But there's a core group of us that kind of keep it together.
What's your favorite song to jam out to?
It would depend on the people that are playing that day.
Okay.
So we've been known to do hip-hop, Patsy Cline, glam rock, just kind of whatever. So it depends
right
what they're
into.
Right
on the gamut,
into. Yeah, some Latin rhythm lately if we get some jazz drummers in, stuff like that.
Very cool. So it took how long for Malarkey's to cash flow, did you say, roughly?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
That's the answer.
But I mean, it was really popular right away, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really, really busy. I mean, we got into that with almost nothing.
Right.
And we were undercapitalized, and I didn't even know enough to know that. I was 27. I didn't go to school for business.
Ignorance
I didn't know what I'm
bliss,
doing.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it got you through.
And as we came on to more and more needs, I had to learn to sound tech. I had to learn to graphic design. I had to learn to, fix some HVAC stuff. Like, whatever I had to learn to do it, I just learned it. That's how I saved the money to spend on bands.
Basically. Yeah. And you built a lot of the West Sider here yourself, did you not?
Yeah, almost all of it, actually. Wow. I did have a couple friends that did some, electrical and plumbing here, like the license stuff.
Right.
But as far as the carpentry goes, and my wife helped, laid all the pennies down. She does all the detail work and the painting, and
that is something.
Yeah. It's a persistent pursuit.
I'd say.
And 6 years after you started Malarkey's, you started Townies, right?
Right. And then there was the Rib Mountain Tap House in there, and then the Ugly Mug coffee shop, too.
Yep. What happened with the Rib Mountain Tap House? Obviously, you sold to Conexus, but...
Yeah, well, I sold out of it before it went into that transition.
Okay.
I found out that we're going to have kids, and I wanted to cash out of something and buy a house and, that kind of situation. It was just a lot to take on all at the same time.
Right. And Ugly Mug was run by your sister, Shannon?
Yep. My sister and I, we did that one together. And that was just another point where that ended right as this was starting over here on the west side. So.
Yeah, great transition. And now it's the Pinery Coffee Shop,
Correct.
Which you guys, it wound up being a great coffee shop. So what's your vision for the West Sider eventually and this neighborhood?
Right. So the West Sider, the idea over here is to first get foot traffic up by having the diner.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done that. We have a lot of people coming through here. And I'd like to see some of the other business fronts down 3rd Ave turn into mom and pop businesses.
Mm-hmm.
It's occurred to me that except for downtown Wausau, the only other area in this city that you can walk around and visit multiple storefronts is right around here on 3rd Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have another option.
Right.
And this one has the advantage of having a neighborhood around it too.
Right.
So what I'd like to see is a situation where we see some neighborhood events. I'm talking Labor Day parade parties and corn roasts and pie eating contests and just some kind of mid-level stuff that
where you close the streets down. And
it isn't 40,000 people going for an art fest or a balloon rally, which those are great events.
Right.
But what we're really missing in our community from my point of view are these kind of mid-level events that help define and characterize neighborhoods and give people a chance to be excited about where they live.
Yeah, maybe
and
talk about the public art projects that you're working on.
Yeah,
here.
That's another part is to kind of beautify the area down here. We've got some huge murals on the walls that were done by a local guy here named Brendan McKenna. And we just have Stephanie Coley, who's done a ton of murals around here. She did the one inside this place of my grandma on the wall over here.
Where's your grandma?
Right back here.
That's your grandma?
Yeah, that's her. She was born the year this place was built. And so
that's cool. I thought that was the Spanish. What was that Spanish?
Selma Gomez.
Yeah.
Somebody asked if it was Amy Winehouse today. But it's just our grandma. And she was a
hey,
nice...
Shannon, come over here for a second, will you? Just for a second? Come on, don't give me that
She's
look.
She's right in the middle of
service.
Helping.
Yeah. Shannon, what's your favorite part about your brother Tyler?
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Come on. She's got so many things.
Say something. You got to give us something. Favorite thing about Tyler?
his wit, his charm.
It's probably how much he cares about the community.
Oh my gosh, that sounded canned.
But
right.
All in all, the whole community.
Very true. Thank you.
Very true. Very sorry sweet.
Thank you for coming on.
I deserve a raise.
What did she say?
I deserve a raise.
You and everybody else, Shannon.
I think she just got one last month.
So speaking another of one. That, you are very generous with your employees. You have a profit-sharing program?
Yeah, I try to do that for sure. It's just, you know, I grew up in this industry from being a server to a bartender to a manager and to the owner and building things. And one of the things that I've realized, I use this metaphor today. It's sometimes, and I don't want to project this on other restaurant owners because I don't know how everybody in the world does this. Mm-hmm, yeah. But sometimes at a Red Lobster, I assume it feels like this. Everybody feels like they're rowing the boat, right?
Right.
But only the owner gets to shore.
Right.
And what I want to do here is kind of reward everyone that helps us move forward so that we're all working together.
That's right.
So I'm really open with the cost of things, the expenses of everything.
Transparent.
And at what point can we share a profitability? And it helps keep staff around. It helps keep people engaged. It keeps quality up. I mean, just across the board, it seems like a better way to run a business to me than constantly hiring, firing, and training new people, recruiting people.
For
all
sure.
of that expenses.
Yeah. This industry is known for that, right? Yeah. And that's what a lot of restaurateurs and restaurant owners struggle with. Would you say you've been lucky enough, or maybe not lucky isn't the right word, but you've been able to not really have that as a major problem?
I've been fortunate.
Yeah.
I mean, I do feel like people want to work for us. And the other thing is the fact that we care about so many businesses around us, the fact that we're doing things that are just sort of like, you know, little cultural significance ideas of our community, whether it's art or whether it's music, it's things people feel proud to help create. It's like we're just doing it because we're here together, doing it together.
Yeah.
It's just a different feeling than going in to just make money for someone that you might not even have ever met.
Right.
You know? Again, not to throw shade at other people.
No.
I don't know how to, I've never been in a business class. I don't know what I'm actually doing. Right. This just makes sense to me.
Yeah. Just political science and philosophy. Those are the
philosophy part. Yeah.
You know, outside of the restaurant industry, I think we echo your sentiments at Rocket Industrial. We're very transparent with all of our figures and everything else, and we're involved in profit sharing too. What's the average tenure of your employee?
It's you know, before COVID, almost our entire staff was still there for 10 years.
That's wild.
Like nobody left.
Super cool.
And that kind of wiped everything out.
Right.
And after we've kind of rebuilt that back, the front of house at Malarkey's anyway, I mean, I'm, you know, this has only been open 9 months.
We hear the fryer going in the background.
That's what I heard.
It's Fish Taco Tuesday.
Is that an audio?
Here.
Oh, yeah.
Paul thought it was an audio problem. No, that's just a fryer.
But after COVID, we kind of rehired everybody, and we've been really fortunate with retention again. We have the same bartenders or more of them. We have the same servers or more of them since then.
So, who's your longest employee? Is it Shannon or Tony?
It might be a tie between those two.
Oh, okay. 17 years?
Yeah.
Nearly.
Yeah, and 17 years at one of... I mean, she helped at every business. She's like... She's the secret part of the detail work and understanding all those little touches that make things work.
Aww.
With someone who's more... Like, I'm into kind of... I suck at proofreading. You know, I'm all concept and I need someone to help me with details.
Is she running the spreadsheets, or are you?
That part I'm still doing. I'm doing the math.
Wanted to know how far it went. Do you offer health benefits to your employees?
I cannot afford to do that.
Yeah, okay.
I would love to find some sort of idea where we do that, but I try to offer a lot of other benefits like paid time off, or, you know, I've helped many of them make purchases like in their lives and whatever I can do to help. But ongoing cost of that is just crippling in this industry.
Oh,
there's
not
enough margin.
We don't have enough time to get into that topic, but costs are through the roof.
Plus, for whatever reason, it's really divisive to talk about how no one can afford care for themselves.
I don't know why, but it is. I don't know why either.
What's your most successful establishment right now? Is it Malarkey's, Townies, or the Westsider?
Well, Malarkey's and Townies are the same thing.
Okay.
The reason that they appear to be different is just that the second half of it opened 5 years later.
Yeah. Okay.
And in case I didn't know how to run a restaurant and I needed to close it, I still wanted Malarkey's to be
scared. Yeah. So Malarkey's was doing well at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nobody ever referred to you as dim-witted. I'll say that, Tyler.
Thank you. It was like, hey, I don't know if I can do this. Maybe I shouldn't put all my eggs in this basket.
Right.
The Westsider's doing extremely well. I mean, it hasn't been here as long as Malarkey's, obviously, so it's hard to figure out what success means. Mm-hmm. But it does have the benefit that I've been doing this for almost 20 years now, and I could open with that knowledge. college. For sure. In Malarkey's, I was learning it as I went.
What did you do differently in the design of the West Sider because of Malarkey's?
Well, there's a lot of things. It's a neighborhood joint, mm-hmm. so I wanted to focus on conversation and being open a lot of hours. Malarkey's is more about having the events and the drivers that bring people downtown.
Live
and past
music.
Other businesses. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this business is really set up efficiently in terms of, I mean, there's only, what, 9 tables here,
right.
and a couple of counters, right?
Right.
And Malarkey's were sprawled out into the streets and different things mm-hmm. like that. So the concept at this diner is it just kind of chugs along every day, and it doesn't take a lot of people to pull it at right. any one time. Malarkey's is more like, you know, there's an event or something going on in town, and, right. and it's all hands on deck.
Right.
There's a lot of ebb and flow there. Over here, it's way more consistent.
Yeah, I mean, even just going to Malarkey's itself outside of an outside event, it feels like you're going to an event often when you're going to Malarkey's on a weekend.
Something's
on a Saturday
going on at the
night,
Grand or right? whatever.
Or yeah. even within Malarkey's, though, you know, you're going to see music.
Yeah.
It in and of itself is sort of an event.
Exactly. We try to, like, Malarkey's has something going on every day. There's trivia, or there's a 400 block event, or there's open mic, or there's a, you know, a band, or, you know.
Or Tony's whatever. Bartending.
Yeah, that's why.
That's an event in and of itself.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I came in Tuesday a couple weeks ago. You know this, both of you already, but I.
Oh, wait, hang on. That was Wednesday. Trivia day.
Yeah. Wednesday was trivia day. Okay.
Wednesday, yeah.
And I didn't know it was trivia, and I've never participated in trivia.
And then you crushed trivia.
We walked in with a group of a bunch of salespeople that were here for a meeting, and the guy, I thought he was playing. I go, oh, good. There's a guy up on stage playing piano. This is wonderful. And he asked, I thought he was in between two songs, and he said, which outfielder for the San Diego Padres played? And I shouted, Tony Gwynn! Tony Gwynn!
Very proud. He was very proud.
I was very proud. And he flipped out. He was so mad.
People take trivia seriously.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, bro, I didn't know. I'm really sorry. I'm stupid. I did not
Honest
know.
Mistake.
I've never, in my college career, I've never played trivia. And I just thought, oh, this musician is asking a question. I'll answer it.
Yeah, there's a lot of musicians, you know, that between songs just ask trivia questions about sports.
Pretty common. Camaraderie with the audience.
You frequently hear about all those musicians that know a lot about sports.
Yeah. They always ask about Tony Gwynn, Daryl Strawberry, Frank Viola.
Things that seem almost trivial.
Right.
Yeah. So talk about, moving on, I need another beer. thank you.
Shannon.
People are listening early in the morning on Bull Falls Radio, but we're recording this. It is Tuesday, and it's 5:20 in the afternoon. So,
just to be clear,
I'm not morning drinking. But as a friend of mine used to say, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
Fair point.
So, let's talk about this partnership with Sam's Pizza, can we?
Oh, sure, yeah.
With Vince over at Sam's, and actually the premise that it doesn't just start with Sam's. You're doing a burger a month for celebrities.
Yeah. Okay. So, in the terms of like doing something kind of fun, we decided that we're going to offer a celebrity dish every month.
Right.
The first one was the All the Way Callaway Burger, right?
Dave Callaway.
The next one was Sean Wright's Brisket Bomber.
Okay. Wow, Grand Theater, yeah.
Yep. The next one, I'll just tell you right now, even though nobody else knows, but it's gonna be the Stephanie Coley Breakfast Bowlie, and she's the lady that did all the murals in town. So we have this whole breakfast bowl coming out,
cool.
for her. And then in July, we're gonna be teaming up with Sam's Pizza and Vince over there, and we're gonna be making a Sam's Burger, which is gonna be a pizza burger featuring their marinara sauce. And I because of the hookup of you guys. Yeah. Small businesses here in Wausau. I got to talk to Vince. He said that a lot of people have been asking him for a sauce for years. He's never given it up to anyone, never sold it to anyone. We're going to be the first ones. And the whole idea is to have a synergy. I want one of our celebrities in town is definitely Sam's Pizza.
So cool.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that was the idea behind this business, to feature another business the same way we feature Zillman's meat here from the meat market right over the bridge.
Yep.
And we're working with Greeby's towards something here in the future. That's going to be another fun little mid-level event here for
kind
for
of a grill out type thing.
Yeah, we actually had the we're fortunate enough to hire the former meat smoker from Hereford and Hops, the original one in Escanaba, Michigan.
Wow.
And that guy has won some awards statewide, and we are going to start having a Liberty Garden smoke out hopefully on Thursday nights, where you can come down here. We'll be smoking food all day and just kind of like bringing another little cultural event to this neighborhood.
Well, that is going to smell like heaven.
I'm gonna come to that one. I think this really embodies Tyler. So take Sam's Pizza. Someone in your shoes could view Sam's Pizza as a competitor, and I think this embodies the idea that, look, I'm embracing these these people. We're going to rise as a community and partner up and do these cool things. And that's just kind of different from what I think we're used to in the business world.
Yeah, it's exactly it. And for that matter, Vince from Sam's could have felt that way too.
Right. Kudos to him too.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not trying to make pizza and he's not trying to make hamburgers.
Right.
But what we're going to do is just create something together. And it's going to, you know, his guests will know about the West Sider and my guests will be reminded about Sam's Pizza, which is just down the street on 3rd Ave.
What kind of cheese are you going to put on that puppy? Provolone?
I haven't decided. We'll have to ask our chef, but I feel like it's got to be provolone or maybe pepper jack.
Pepper jack, I was thinking too.
Some kind of blend. Yeah.
So I had the privilege of growing up with Mary Perella, Mrs. Perella. I didn't know her husband, but I knew Mary. Mrs. Perella, I always referred to her as very respectfully. Mm-hmm. I've been in her house, and when I was in her house, the first thing I asked was, where is that secret recipe for the marinara sauce, Mrs. Perella? I mean, that thing is kept under lock and key at Sam's. They don't give that out.
Yeah, I don't want to know how to make it. I'm not asking for that. Right. I just want to buy some from them and put it on a burger we design, and I think we'll probably have some mott sticks to dip in it for that.
True
that
partnership.
Yeah. So what if that thing, I mean, I would eat one of those every day if I could.
But you only have 30 days.
Yeah, like what if it's so popular you have to keep it on the menu, would you?
No.
No?
The whole point is to just do something different every 30 days. We also offer what I call the Chef Flex on Thursday nights, right? Something you wouldn't expect to find in a diner. Yeah. We do one thing on Thursday nights. There's, you know, 4 or 5 Thursdays in a month, depending on the month. And if you don't get in here during those times, it's just too bad. We had a noodle dish with a peanut sauce that we did the first month. We were selling 50 or 60 of them every single Thursday to a place that has 9 tables, you know?
Crazy.
And we just went through a general towel cycle, and we're going for a kind of a version of a poke bowl for next month.
I've had
people say I wouldn't think to get that in a diner. I'm like, that's the point. You know, we have burgers, we have chicken sandwiches, we have breakfast, we have skillets, and then on Thursday nights, our chefs flex a little bit because they're talented.
Yeah, cool.
Very talented. And we wanted to also announce a partnership with Sam's Pizza on this episode. This is our 10th episode of the Wausau Business Show.
We made it. So far.
Yep, please keep letting us on, unbelievably. Yeah, and we wanted to have you for our 10th episode. The business of the Wausau Business Show. The Wausau Business Show has been open for business for a decade of episodes.
A decade of weeks.
Yes. A decimeter of shows.
Yeah. But we wanted to announce that for every Sam's Pizza sold in any store where Sam's Pizza is sold, any frozen pizza, including when you go and get it at Sam's Pizza, $1 from that pizza will be donated to the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, up to $10,000.
Nice.
So that will start in July as well.
Would I be allowed to tag $1 from each Sam's Burger we sell onto that too?
Absolutely.
Sure. Love that. That's another new announcement.
That's awesome. Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. 100% of the proceeds from the Wausau Business Show benefit the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. As we close, still waiting on that beer, Tyler. As we close, though, economic development, I know, is a real passion of yours. You were very heavily involved in the decision with the T-Wall development and lobbying.
I try to help. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you spoke at City Council several times about how important the TIF funding was for that, the reverse TIF funding, and you explained eloquently about what reverse TIF funding is, and I think you did a famous Facebook post that explained that as well.
It's one of those things where I am not a developer, and I'm not part of the city, and being politically minded and
wanting to be president and a lawyer.
it was like, I would like to take the opportunity to not just continue to complain about things, but actually learn about it, and then do my best to just sort of say it how it is, you know, and I don't know what drives me to do things like that, but
your good heart.
Yeah, I don't like to complain unless I have a better idea.
Yeah, solution, fair.
Well, you're very active, and, you know, we appreciate it, the Wausau Business Show, and I think the community, those that know about it, appreciate you,
Tyler. Yeah, we appreciate your advocacy and your passion, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that you're doing a lot of the good things around here that, frankly, someone has to do if we want to thrive as a community.
Kind of moonlighting as a lawyer / president. Talk about your passion for one-way streets, could you, downtown?
Well,
is it a passion or
your passion? Is it a passion? Yeah.
I hear people's confusion on them, and I get it. What I'm trying to do is like maybe get the idea that this street, 3rd Ave, can go back to 2 lanes over here on the west side,
which it used to be.
It used to be, and at least give us the opportunity to turn north off Bridge Street and just see if all these empty storefronts start to naturally fill in again. Because all of a sudden we can cross the streets, and all of a sudden the neighborhoods are connected. And I have a lot of ideas and things that I hope to see, but
it's a friction point, you know.
Yes,
it's a it, an area that provides friction for visitation. And we, as entrepreneurs, look to eliminate all friction to business.
Right. If you drive down 3rd Avenue, there's about 25 vacant mom and pop storefronts. Mm-hmm. Just drive down from right over by the North End Pub down to Thomas Street. Just take a slow drive sometime and look left and right. Okay. And, you know, you'll see what we have. A highway dividing our town over here. And I do think that I think there's opportunity to change there. I'm not asking anybody to build anything. Right. I'm not asking for any tax dollars to be spent on things like this. I'm just saying, consider the idea
strategically.
Yeah. That the people could walk around the communities and they can window shop in these old businesses like they used to. Yeah.
Walkability is the number one thing to economic success.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, cool. It's been awesome. I know we had technical difficulties starting here today because there was a problem with our mixing soundboard.
Okay, I got a couple questions for you guys.
Oh, okay.
Well, this is your 10-year anniversary.
I said you could 10 episode anniversary. I said you could ask questions if you gave us two beers. And
do you want me to run and grab one?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, hang on.
All right.
Well, he's going to grab us a beer.
Go grab one. Let's see. This is the
from
owner.
Tyler himself.
He's actually doing it himself. That's a man that is humble and what's that?
What did he say, Paul?
I think he said is it the third wall, the fourth wall?
That we're breaking?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know.
You're breaking the third wall.
I have these cans on. I can't hear very
Johnny
well.
Johnny Carson used to talk about that. When women went to bed with Johnny Carson every week. Are you allowed to say that? That's what he used to say.
Ah, thank you, Tyler. Look at that. Perfect
Nobody
pour.
Nobody does it better.
Perfect pour.
You know, he worked in every role. Did you ever work as a chef?
Well, like, briefly. I wouldn't call myself a chef. I would say that I was moving things around like a chef told me to do because we were slow and we needed help.
Yeah.
So thank you. You have questions for us. I have one last I'll save that. What you have questions for us? Go ahead.
Let's hear them.
These were the terms of the interview.
Yes. Okay. First question is,
it was on his rider.
How much time do you guys spend together?
Oh, God.
At work, at this radio show. You live near each other from what I understand.
Well, Paul and I grew up together, as you know.
I do know that.
And we spend a lot of time. We don't spend a lot of time at work together, though.
No.
Because Paul works in a different department than I do.
Not in our day job. We don't. That's where we spend the least amount of time together, probably.
Yeah.
All right, question number two. What have you learned from the Red Lobster Business Show? I mean, the Wisconsin Business Show.
Well, you know, we can announce to you on our 10th episode, Tyler, that we're putting out a book of our learnings.
Oh, good.
It'll be the Wausau Business Show book. I don't know what the name of it is.
Maybe just that. I don't know.
100% of the proceeds will go to the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, and it'll be insights that we've learned interviewing marvelous people like yourself. You know, that's the whole point of the Wausau Business Show, is to get the word out, you know, as a platform. So
something I've noticed about this town and the entrepreneurs I've gotten to know is you can still make an impact in Wausau just swinging a hammer, which isn't true in some of those bigger towns.
That's right.
It takes so much money to get anything going. And if anything, I'm just trying to prove that a person with an idea can still accomplish something.
Well,
it doesn't take a team of people always.
You have proven that, Tyler, and keep going. We're big supporters and fans of yours. You know, in conclusion here, your favorite song of all time?
Ooh.
Probably Like a Rolling Stone by Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Pretty good.
I love that song.
Yeah.
Favorite place to eat in town that's not owned by you?
I go to Troy's TikTok for their perch fish fry, and I like their tartar sauce there.
Hot take.
I go to Chow often. Yep. We go to Back When to get the seared tuna.
Yeah.
Go to Peking to get the pork shank.
I was going to ask if you still go to Peking.
Yeah. You know, that was like I learned to eat vegetables from working there. It's like I never realized how good they were until they were stir fried and delicious sauces.
Yeah,
you ever talk to Jenny Chang?
Not in years and years.
Yeah. I don't know where she lives or where she's at these days.
I've run into Mallory, Jeff's younger daughter, recently at like a pizza barn around here.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Back when her dad used to own Peking, I was friends with Jenny. Yeah, I grew up with Jenny in grade school. Mm-hmm. Her dad tragically passed, you know, suddenly, as you know, God rest his soul. But I used to have the honor of being a 5-year-old running around in that back kitchen in there.
Cool.
That was fond memories of Peking. It's a legendary place in downtown Wausau, a hidden gem. And this place is a hidden gem, too. What was the diner that used to be here like 25 years ago?
I think what people most refer to it as is Pat's Diner.
Okay.
It's been a diner in some inclination or some form since like the early 20s.
Wow.
1920s for the younger people.
Yeah, right. Not 3 years ago.
Good distinction. No, And thank you. Yeah. But by the time we were all in high school, had you ever been in here when it was open?
I was just about to tell you.
Oh, I never had been.
Oh, yeah. One time I was in here because they used to let us off, you know, to do whatever we wanted. I don't know if they still let you do that.
But. 40 minutes on Fridays. Yeah. I crushed that mod system. Yeah, I can tell you exactly how I dumped the classes.
Right. We came over here, and I remember the only meal I've ever had here until the West Sider was open was a open-faced roast beef and gravy sandwich.
Ooh, kind of a diner class.
It was. It was very good.
Yeah.
Well, Tyler, you've got to come back.
Okay.
Thank you a lot for coming on the show. Please be a regular.
Please do.
Tyler Vogt, West Sider Tavern. Is it the Tavern? West Sider.
I call it the West Sider Diner and Lounge.
Ooh,
West Sider Diner and Lounge. So people know we're open morning and night.
Yeah. I like that. 7 a.m. till midnight every
7
day.
7 days a week.
Wow. And Malarkeys and Townies. We'll see you there. Thank you, Tyler, for coming out.
Thank you. And happy 10 years. Thank I mean, you. 10 weeks. Oh, yes.
All right.
You guys are good at clapping.
She walks down the street, a knocking on dead. Store window dummies even turn their head. Shut up. Powerful stuff. When I saw her, I burned my black book. Made a bad man dig a second look. Shut up. Stuff.
Broadcasting with 1.21 gigawatts of Wasonian power for Wausau.
1.21 gigawatts!
This is the one and only Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
It's electric! I'll be back in time.
What kind of name is Incredible Bank? Hey, we get it. It's an unusual name. But our name isn't about us. It's about you. It's our promise to you to provide an incredible customer experience with every interaction, so you can continue to do what makes you incredible. Incredible Bank, the bank for incredible people. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Reuter Ware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance, while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at reuterware.com.
Wausau Business Show.
The number one show for and about Wausau. Every Saturday morning, 8 to 9. And available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Alexa. Visit wausaubusiness.com for more details.
Now you don't talk so loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging.
Wausau Business Show. Welcome back. Right now in studio, we have Kyle Silver. Welcome, Kyle.
Famous Kyle is the brains behind You Know You're From Wausau If, and that is a Facebook page. If you're not following it, you should, because 34,000 other people are following this page, and it's all about Wausau.
Yep.
Kind of like the Wausau Business Show.
Right.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Kyle was one of the people of the year in 2017 for the Wausau Daily Herald. In 2015, he had a cover story about him and about the Facebook page on City Pages, and he joins us now. So, Kyle, what year did your page start on Facebook, and what kind of was the inception?
Yeah. So the page started, the group started back in September 2008, which is quite a bit in the rearview mirror.
Right.
But it didn't really take off until like 2011. It seemed to start growing. So in 2008, I had just graduated high school.
From?
DC Everest.
Okay.
DC Everest. Go Evergreens.
Right? There you go.
It's the September 15th, 2008 on Facebook.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
It's hard to remember what was going on. But, you know, at the time, I just noticed that there was kind of, you know, a theme. You know, I had that idea that I'd make this thing, mm-hmm. and the title would be something people would add on to.
Yeah.
You know, you'd mm-hmm. say, you know, and I don't think I'm the first one to come up with that phrase, you know, right. you know you're from IF.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, in this community, it's really an idea that's taken off. Uh-huh. You know, at the time, I was also the editor-in-chief of The Forum, which is a newspaper at UW-Marathon County.
Okay.
Okay.
At the time, that was back in 2009, I did that, 2010. Uh-huh. And so I was doing that, but at that time, the group wasn't a big thing, you know what I mean? No one really looked at it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah. And also, there was a local citizen, Joan Keel, okay. who sadly passed away in 2019, mm-hmm. and she actually has a remembrance stone at the Monk Botanical Gardens.
Thank you for pronouncing it the correct way.
Yeah.
I got to do it the right way.
Yeah, that's right.
Got to do it right. Yeah. And, you know, she became, I added her as what's called a group moderator.
Okay.
You know, she was someone that I feel like a lot of people in the group remember, a local person. She was like a corrections officer for many years and held a vast wealth of knowledge about the area mm-hmm. and shared that in the group, which people really got into. They love that historical element of it.
She started posting like historical pictures and things like that?
She did. Maybe that's why it started taking off.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Is because of that one person. You know, sometimes all it takes is one person.
Right.
Yeah. The spark.
The spark, yeah. You know, people in the group, they still know who that is. They mm-hmm. they know that person, and maybe they knew her beforehand. I don't know, but, you know, I think she really touched a lot of people locally with her love for the area.
Yeah. Were you born and raised here?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Wausau.
So you were editor at the forum at the UWMC at the time, now UWSP at Wausau. And then where did you go after that?
After that, you know, I kind of took the scenic route through my higher education. You know, it's something I'm still working on. I'm almost done with my bachelor's degree now.
Okay. Congrats.
You know, it wasn't a linear process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now, you know, I'm working on a marketing communication degree.
Cool.
At Bemidji State.
Nice.
I do it online in Minnesota.
Yeah. Cool. What do you do for a job?
Yeah, in the last few years, I've worked in what I would call mental health.
Okay.
Okay.
With like a younger population.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Clients who struggle with behavioral issues, at-risk youth.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Substance abuse issues.
Okay.
People with that constellation of issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you started this Facebook page, it took off. Mm-hmm. And describe what it felt like when you were watching this thing, you know, hit 10,000, 5,000 even, mm-hmm. the first 1,000, and then suddenly 20,000. And each of those benchmarks, I mean, I'm sure it's lost its luster a little bit. Like, oh, yeah, I just got another 10,000 followers on this one. But when it was first taking off, how long did it take to get to like 5,000 people?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it probably had 5,000 by 2013. I don't know.
So it took 5 years just to get to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for the Wausau area, 34,000, that's quite a few people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's a big chunk of the population. I mean, I know a lot of the followers aren't in Wausau anymore right. like you. But right.
Are all of those people, like, as an admin, do you see how many active users there are of those 34,000?
Like, I do. Sometimes it's high. Sometimes it's like 10,000 at once.
Wow.
But it's always well over like 5,000.
And any given day?
At any given moment.
Wow.
It's 24/7.
Yeah.
But I don't do it alone. I have a few other people who help me with it.
Okay.
Mike Howe, Teresa Volp, Dan Paul, they're all moderators.
Yeah.
And they honestly do most of the moderation work behind the scenes.
Okay.
Which is a lot. They're doing it like all day. It's like incredible.
Wow. What exactly do they moderate? Just out of curiosity.
What they moderate is like stuff that is request to join.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, making sure that the right people are getting in.
Okay. Not bots.
There's stuff like that. Yeah. You know, it's kind of a manual process. Some of it's automated.
Okay.
Behind the scenes. Because the Facebook groups platform is something that they really kind of have reinvested in mm-hmm. in recent years. Because they were focused on what's called Facebook pages,
yeah.
which were more business oriented. But in recent years, they've looked at groups as uh-huh. like being a really big thing on there. They really reinvested in it. They provided a whole new suite of like
tools, yeah.
analytic tools okay. and moderation tools that didn't exist before. Because okay. before it was super bare bones.
Is this somehow monetized for you in any way?
It's not monetized in any way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's special about it
yeah.
is it isn't about making money. It's a citizen driven, very democratic thing. You know
yeah.
what I mean? That's, I think, appeals to people. And it's also a positive environment.
It is a positive environment.
Because of the work that goes on behind the scenes and moderating it.
Yeah. It's not getting ugly.
It's not right. getting ugly. Yeah. They don't allow advertisements.
Yeah.
You know, it's very closely watched by a crew of people, which includes me.
It's really Wausau historic driven and things like that. It's not political or, you know, advertising and things like that.
And it's fun. I mean, you'll get posts of pictures of, hey, remember when this place XYZ that doesn't exist anymore used to be there? And you'll get hundreds of comments and be like, I remember when I went there with my grandpa. And
an old picture of Diamond Dave's.
Diamond Dave's. There you go.
Yeah, it's great for Wausau to kind of bind and knit the community and people that are in Wausau or have an association with Wausau together.
New names all the time I see on there.
Yeah.
It's probably the biggest congregation of people in the community.
For sure.
I would think.
And I know that, you know, that with the tragedy in 2017, with the shootings and things that happened in Wausau, you were central to that. I believe Channel 9 called you and wanted to talk to you because of your page. Mm-hmm. Why did they want to talk to you that day when you led the news that night?
Well, that was interesting. That was, they saw that there was a very large reaction in the Facebook group. You know, this was one of the most, you know, visible platforms where people were communicating, mourning about the death at the bank. You know, when the people were shot, which was horrifying. And I guess I made it, so they wanted to talk to me. You know, but the real thing is none of it's really about me. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's about
the community.
It's
itself.
About the community itself.
Yeah. What did they ask you?
What they asked me was they were just talking about the theme that, you know, this was a major location, whether physical or on the internet,
right? Mm-hmm.
Where there was a big dialogue going on about what this meant to the community, what it meant for people. And I think they probably extracted a lot of information from there.
Right.
When it came to making that.
Yeah, that's exceptional. Did you think you would be in journalism? I mean, you were the editor, and then were you planning on becoming a journalist?
You know, I'd always liked journalism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, growing up, I'd always liked it, but it kind of fell to the wayside as my interest shifted more toward communication, business, media, social media, marketing, stuff like that. But I think Facebook is still the premier business platform.
Yeah.
I mean, people say it's fallen off. You know, I don't know if I agree with that entirely. Maybe to some extent you see like TikTok marketing's a thing or Instagram is a thing. But I think it's still like FM radio. You know, I think FM radio is still huge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's still the number one medium for advertising if you look at the data.
You hear that, advertisers and sponsors?
Come to 98.9.
Info at wasabusiness.com if you want to be on this show.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, WXCO does a great job. Okay, well, Kyle, it's been a pleasure having you. Please keep in touch. We're going to keep in touch with you, and maybe you can be a regular guest if we have any questions about social media in general.
And your group, of course.
Yeah, and your group.
Well, thank you guys so much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. And, and we forgot to mention, absolutely, Kyle was on the lobster bus.
That's right. Thanks for coming, buddy.
That was awesome. Everyone should have been there.
Not
even joking.
Such a great group.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I'm glad Kyle could be there.
It was, and we were walking into the restaurant, and Kyle goes, I said something like, oh, yeah, your group has 34,000 followers, and he goes, yeah, I wish they all could be at this Red Lobster right now. But Kyle is wearing his official Lobster Bus passenger t-shirt
right now.
And that was a lot of fun. Thanks for coming along on the Lobster Bus.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
All right,
thanks, Kyle.
Thank you.
Kyle Silvers, everybody. Who do we have coming up next week, Paul?
We're lucky to have Scott Wimmer, former NASCAR driver and owner of State Park Speedway, coming up.
State Park Speedway.
Looking great in 88. Have a good time.
State Park Speedway.
What a jingle.
Got to get our hands on that jingle.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, fair. And also, the gentleman that is so passionate about Red Lobster in Wausau that he's getting a Red Lobster tattoo from Marked Up Tattoos.
He's really going to do it.
He's going to do it. It's going to say Wausau underneath there. We're going to be talking to him next Saturday.
Fun.
So make sure to tune in.
Yep. Hey, real quick, have you heard the latest Red Lobster news?
Is it breaking Red Lobster news?
It's breaking Flavor Red Lobster news.
All right, let's do it.
The Wausau Business Show, breaking Red Lobster news.
All right, Paul, what is it?
He bought the entire menu at Red Lobster when he visited.
Did he take a bus with like 50 people over to a Red Lobster?
He didn't do that, but he was quoted as saying he'd do whatever he can do, anything and everything to save it.
Well, technically, he was quoted as, quote, he said, "Your boy meant it when I said I was going to do anything and everything to help." Unquote.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you, Flava Flav, for being on the Red Lobster team.
Yes.
Hopefully your hometown wants Red Lobster as much as Wausonians do.
Hard to believe anywhere else would want it as much as we do.
Give me some knuckles.
Knucks.
Knuck it up.
And also, don't forget to come and visit us, please, on Wednesday, June 19th at the 400 block.
Paul said, please. It's Brad Emanuel night, Wednesday.
Should
this coming
fun.
Wednesday. Yeah, it's going to be great. Brad Emanuel, and we'll be there too, so we hope to see you there. And until then, from high atop Rib Mountain, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission.
The end. We're lost in a cloud with too much rain. We're trapped in a world
question. Still, I am sure that the answer, answer's gonna come somehow. Out there in the dark, there's a beckoning candle. Oh, yeah. And while I can think, while I can walk, while I can stand, while I can talk, while I can dream, please let my dream come true. Whoa. Right now, oh, let it come true right now. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
This has been a Wausau Business Show Transmission. Allreiz Reserve 2024.